Now, I'm going to tell you two, where Todd is at?
He's down.
I'm going to tell you two a story about getting in trouble and lying and what it'll do. When I was a boy, my uncle built a house. And I was maybe, how old are you, six, eight, you're seven,
he's
right?
Eight.
I was about that age. And they had just poured the floor in the garage, and my uncle had formed up off the door leading off the garage outside and poured a little step and took me over to that and said, "Don't step in that." Okay, I got you. I was 7 years old. I was running around the house acting crazy. I went running out through there and I run through that door and stepped in that fresh cement. Blop! And I looked around and nobody saw me do it, so I ran down the creek, dipped my foot in there, got it all clean, and ran back to playing. Nobody's going to notice that, right? Here comes my uncle. Walks me around the side of the house. He said, "Did you step in that concrete? Now look! These are grown men. I was the only boy there. My foot was that big. Their feet are that big. Right? And the little hole in the concrete was that big." I went, "Huh?" And he wailed on my rear end. I never lied to my uncle again after that. Never was even tempted to. It's like the woman that came home with a brand new package under her arm. And the husband, the preacher, "What you got in that package, woman?" She opened that thing up, and here was this fancy, red, revealing dress. He said, "What in the world?" She goes, "I was out shopping. I was walking past the window, and I saw that thing, and I kept looking at it, and I said I want it, and the devil said, 'Girl, go on ahead in there and get it.'" The preacher said, "How come you didn't pay attention to the Bible and tell that devil? Get behind you." She said, "I did." And you know, good old devil said, "Looks good from back here too." Don't be tempted.
Yeah.
Ever. With open hearts, let us give as the ushers come forward. With me this morning. Get up out of them seats, turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, tell them good morning, tell them you love them and you're glad to see them. We're going to get in the spirit now. sounds better. Y'all sitting there being all quiet like that. That ain't gonna. Oh, hey, thank you.
Glad to see you. Good morning. Love you.
Good morning. Don't forget her. Now then, good morning.
Good morning.
Where'd everybody go? I'm having a hard morning, and you're going to make me feel better, or I'll come down here and pinch you. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. My wife ain't here. I want you to be in prayer that she comes home soon, because I can't do anything right this morning. I started out this morning thinking it's going to be good. Look at my face. I tried to trim my beard. Guess where it went? I was just sitting there trimming along, and the cat was walking out around the corner of the bedroom, and I went, "Hi, kitty." And I pulled that thing straight down, cut a piece of my beard off. I burned my dinner last night. I'm out of step with the program. Everybody in front of me this morning drove 30 miles an hour getting here. She has got to come home. I miss her. I don't do too well when she ain't around. You know, I used to be a bachelor. Happy bachelor. I could do whatever I wanted. I've been a bachelor for 2 days now, and I've accomplished nothing. She's on the Eastern Shore. Her grandmother, you know, Grammy, she had a family reunion to go to with her still living brother. She's one of 8 or 9 or 10 or 14. I don't know. They had a family reunion, and then Wendy was going to go down and spend some time with her stepmom as things continue to progress. So keep that lifted up in your blessings and pray that she comes home safely. I miss her. I don't know when she's coming home. Gail, it's good to see you back. You ain't leaving, so you might as well just root in. Tilly, Betty, good to see everybody. We need to keep in memory those campers out there. I think it was Arkansas. I was devastated when I read that. So we'll keep that in prayer. And also, later on today after church, Pat, I'm coming to see Bob. As I promised last Sunday, I would come see him. He made me promise. And I'm taking my guitar along, going to sing a couple hymns to him, some bluegrass gospel, whatever strikes me. So if you want to come along, I'm going straight after church. And if you want to come along and sing a few or say hi to Bob, just hook up with me. Others, joys or concerns, prayers, praises, it's great to have visitors today. Thank you for coming to share with us today. Others, thank all of you. Let us put our hearts together. Father, it is amusing to you, I'm sure, the things that you give us and then take away sometimes to teach us. We get so used to having certain things around that after a while we take them for granted, and sometimes you remove them temporarily to remind us of what we need. I pray that my wife come home soon, that she come home safely. I thank you for reminding me to pray. I thank you for the testimony shared that were given with sincerity, reminding us just what prayer is, and that's what we are here for right now, Father, to pray. To first of all, thank you for remembering us. To remember the thanks that come when we don't even expect it, the blessings that are given, the watch that is taken, the care that is received. We should be truly humbled, and we are. All things that we need are given by you greatly. Let us turn our attention now, Father, to needs, to be with those who are suffering right now from sickness, diseases that they are fighting off, those who are perhaps preparing for the end of their journey, for the disease that they have fought for so long. Give them strength and grace and dignity. And for those who have suddenly lost loved ones in whatever tragic event, we pray that this time is used to come to know you better. Instead of just asking why, let those fall on their knees and pray, help me, Father. And the goodness of you will be known through Jesus Christ, and more will be saved. Look around this world. We see things through guarded vision, Father, that you've given us. Where we're told, depend on ourselves, you have said, depend on me and me only, and we do. And so I pray for strength within this congregation, Father, that they can take that message back out into the world and lift up. I pray for members who are unable to be here today. We miss them. We love them dearly. And we thank you for those visiting. They bring a special element to a Sunday, Father. We ask that you watch over and keep those who are serving this country and those who have given their lives, even in a moment when they were not expected, Father. I speak of the officer that lost his life just several days ago, unexpectedly. Be with that family, Father. I ask that you be with the men and women that serve in the hospital, in the back of the ambulance, in the police car. And I thank you evermore for the teachers, Father. From Sunday school teachers, to school teachers, to worldly teachers who use you as their guide to instruct those who should listen. I especially pray that you would turn our government. It is a prayer that I pray without ceasing, that you would make them refocus upon you and your Son Jesus and the Word and those principles. And I pray for all the preachers in the pulpits today as they deliver your message. Whatever their message is, let it be of strong, strong substance from you through them to their families, their congregations. I would ask that you would pray, help us pray, as your Son taught us how. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's the subject of Vacation Bible School, the Lord's Prayer. Pray it loudly. I can't wait to see what we're going to do. I don't even know. What am I going to do? Whatever you tell me to, right? That's pretty much it. Our scripture lesson today comes from Psalms 127. Psalms 127, you've already seen the message title, and it's already been referred to. We're talking about the building blocks, about foundations. Solomon wrote these five little verses. And he talked about your work, your building, anything you can do, is meaningless unless it is overwritten by God. Five little verses, Psalms 127. He writes these words, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Foundation. A beginning. With that thought in mind, let us seek God's blessing upon this word as we come before him today. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, open our hearts, our minds, and let this message that has been written, not mine, yours, come through me, preach to those who are seeking. Open our ears, strengthen our hearts, lead, guide, and direct us as we go from here today. As we set aside our regular labors to focus on you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I cannot help it. I can't stop it. I'll never try. I love to build things. My mind never shuts down on things I can build. Ask Wendy. She'll tell you. I had drawn out a set of plans on the table that devised an underground tube system that would feed me, at the touch of a button, a can of root beer right down to my shop, right straight out of the refrigerator. I had it all figured out. I had worked out. See, I studied it. I read them manuals. I had figured out how to make a vacuum system. I had been to a bank and studied how to get that canister to go. All I had to do was push a button, boop, out the shop, and a cold can of root beer would have magically appeared. And I like root beer. And I laid these plans out, and I was in the kitchen measuring the refrigerator. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I got to drill a hole in the side of this thing for the tube to go into." I don't have that system in my shop now, because she saw me approach her refrigerator with a drill and stopped me dead in my tracks. I thought it was a great idea, and so did my boys. But I love to build things, and I mean truly do. I get a great enjoyment out of it. Ever since I can remember, I've enjoyed taking things apart to see how they work and put them back together again. Case in point, this past week, I got the swimming pool up. I put a sand filter on the swimming pool. I don't know anything about them. And I would call people and ask questions, and they would talk to me like I was an idiot. So I said, "It ain't working right. There ain't but one thing to do. Get the wrenches out and go to work." And I did. And I tore that sand filter completely to pieces. Had it spread out all over the picnic table and all over the front porch. And I found out what was wrong. And I walked down to the local, went down to the local pool store with a bunch of parts in my hands, walked in the counter, threw them on the counter and said, "I need these." And the girl behind the counter went, "What?" I went back home, put them back together, it works. I am blessed, and I might even be bragging, oh well, I have two sons that endeavor to be builders. You know what that means for me? That means I get to play with Legos even though I am 42 years old. I get to build things with them, and I get to watch them build things. I get to watch some of the creations that they come up with. And it's great. "Daddy, look at this truck I just built." And they bring this thing down to me, and they hold it to me. And they say, "See, the hood opens, and the engine pops up so you can work on it. And here's where the driver sits. And look back here, you can put a tractor back here, and this will shoot a rocket up." All in one truck? That touches me. That's my foundation. Because I like to build, and I got them building. Drives Wendy crazy, because there's Legos all over the house. Walk through our house in bare feet, and you'll wake up fast. But something I saw this past week got me thinking about building blocks. It got me thinking about us here. It got me thinking about the family, the congregation, the foundation. It got me to thinking about not just us as well, but Christians. And I'm talking about Christians. Let me be clear here. And I mean those who fear God. Fear Him. Accept the Bible as unerred, infallible, 100% the Word of God. And those that accept Jesus Christ as the risen Son of our God. Believe in Him, trust in Him, and have that faith in Him. Those are the Christians. Us and those Christians outside of the walls, somewhere else today. The foundation. The building blocks. See, what I saw this week was meant to be funny, but unfortunately I have a warped sense of humor, so it got me to thinking. I was watching this thing on the television set, and they was making fun of how dumb men are. Well, I don't need to watch TV to know that. I am a man. I know. I have lived with myself. I know. It showed men building things and not taking time to build things right, and they made a bunch of funny videos out of what men built fall down. Had me laughing, because I've done that. One of them was this guy built this shed. He was going to put a shed for his mower in. And it was a gable roof shed. And most of you guys, it was a barn roof style. You see, it was going to be an open shed. And he had built out these two runners. And he had put all these stacks of rafters up. And he had everything up. And he had just finished nailing in the last nail. And he spun around with his tool belt on. He looked at his wife. And he goes, "What do you think of this, honey?" And he put his hand against it. And when he did, the whole mess fell over like a stack of cards. I literally thought I was going to pop along laughing at that. I knew exactly what he did. He didn't string the rafters. I've seen that done. I've done it. They watched one guy. He built a building on the back end of his house. Was going to put a carport on the back. And the truck came with a bunch of supplies. And the guy that was building it was standing up on the roof going, "Yeah, come on." He wanted the truck to back in his shed to unload. He had his framework up. "Back! Back!" The truck was backing up. And the building was 8 feet tall, and the truck was 8.5 feet tall. And he backed into the building and knocked the whole sheeting match over. Something was missing there. And it went on from there. They were talking about Dad's Day coming up and showing about how everything could come crashing down for a lot of men that don't pay attention. But it got me to thinking. Building blocks. How quickly we can let a foundation go to pot. How quickly we can turn something from something strongly built into a pile if we don't set the right foundation. I grew up a builder. I grew up on a dairy farm. There's some dairy farmers in here. You fixed an awful lot of stuff the best way you knew how. Couldn't pay anybody to do some of that stuff. My grandfather was the greatest thing. You give him a bag full of nails, a hammer, and two fence boards, and he could build a tractor. Taught it to me. My father built his own house. First house he lived in. I built my first house. It's part of my nature. But it all started at the beginning. Not using the right building blocks. And I would have had nothing from it. Matthew chapter 7. I so really want to do the song. The wise man built his... Matthew chapter 7, turn there with me. Verse 21. I grew up with that song. And the rain came tumbling down. And I see people out there saying the words with me. You know that song. But let's read what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 in the 21st verse. He says something hard to understand. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" And then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Has to start at the beginning. And after a while, one of the things I talked about was how complacent we get with our salvation, with things around us. I had become so used to my wife being here, she ain't left me for a while to go over to the Eastern Shore, and now she's gone, and I'm telling you, she'll be lucky if there's a house left when she gets home. I done broke the dishwasher. I fixed it. And yes, this is an old story, but it doesn't change the facts. You've got to have your blocks laid down right. You've got to have your foundation laid out right. Everything else can fall. Your foundation has to be set right. It has to be placed upon a rock. Recently, I was asked the question, how do you lose your salvation? How can somebody actually lose their salvation? How can somebody walk away from it? I said, well, it's simple. You didn't have foundation. Yes, there's the other way. You can blaspheme and say to him, I don't want it anymore. I personally know someone who has done that, and it makes my head hurt to think about it. And I really want to ask them why one day, but I'm afraid it'll get into a discussion that may turn fierce. No foundation in place. Brothers and sisters, we can be that person. If we don't remember to check your foundation every so often. I check mine quite often. That's because of the way I was raised. Every now and then, when the rains come, when things are going on, I'm down in the basement with a flashlight looking for leaks or cracks or whatever so that I know where to go to fix. Because I know that you can do anything you want if you start solidly at the bottom. I don't know what your salvation is. God knows that truly in your heart. So I can't honestly say to that person when they ask that question, how did they lose it? All I can do is say to them, you didn't build the blocks in the right place to start with. Otherwise, you can always come back. Look at me. I got one of the most solid foundations you could ever get. Taken in, surrounded by preachers and deacons and elders and leaders all the way back to the beginning of the church. They put the foundation in place. They sometimes beat it into me. And I ran away. But the foundation was there. I was able to come back and start building again. There's nowhere to go. We cannot possibly grow. We cannot possibly expect things to go the way we want to unless we're looking at where we started. That's how you get somebody in. When that first question comes to you, what saved you? Oh, well, that's easy. I'm scared to death of God. They're not going to understand that. They need to know the beginning. What saved you? I was lost. I was without. I was with a lonely. I had nothing. Our foundation has to start right at the beginning. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his letter in the 3rd chapter. He wrote these words. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God makes them grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? At the beginning, your salvation, your faith, starts with Him. Nowhere else. And I'm hearing a lot more of this for some reason. I don't know whether it's because I'm in tune to certain things or people are coming up to me, but the thing I am hearing over and over again is God ain't going to let nobody die in the lake of hell. Oh, yes, He is. Well, that ain't the God I know. Well, we need to talk. First of all, do you understand what Jesus Christ is? Do you understand how that begins? Do you understand that? It starts so simple. Wait a minute. The cinder block. Now let's take a good hard look at this. I told you there'd be props today. That is a simple of simple building tools. I've carried a lot of these things in my life. I have built stuff with them. when you take a good hard look at the old cinder block, it's kind of ugly, isn't it? Man, it's gray, it's kind of yucky, it's kind of nasty. This is even a used cinder block. But this is a building start. Some of the greatest buildings standing in this world today started with one of these. Now let's get an education on the cinder block, ladies. This three areas are called the webs. They're called the webs. See, they web in. These areas here are called channels, not pockets, channels. These are called the channels. And you will be tested later. So you got the webs and you got the channels. Now this is called the broad. You understand that? The broad. Now as you look at a cinder block right here, the way I have it setting, it is weak. It is unsupportive. It will not do a single thing. How do I know? Because I got a lot of tractors setting up on these in my yard. If you lay a block this way and you put any weight on it, the block's going to break down. Simple. There's nothing here to support it. The original cinder blocks, and I have a cinder block press, so I know how to make hand make them. Don't ever ask me to. That is more work than I ever care to do. The original cinder blocks were literally made with cinders and dried mortar and whatever else they could get a hold of, and they were hot pressed into a shape and then allowed to cure and dry in the sun, and they weighed about 1,000 pounds apiece. At least that's what I thought. The cinder block in its simplest form right here is weak until you do this. You change the dynamic of the cinder block right there. Now you have support. When you were lost, this is who you were. Hard-headed, weak, unable to support anything. Anytime any in the world put any weight on you, what did it do? It broke it. Jesus Christ came along and said, you belong like that. That is the start right there. Now the cinder block is at its strongest point, and it's prepared. It's ready to see the next block. It's ready to see the next piece. It's ready to see what will come next to lift it up and go on. This is a used cinder block because I'm cheap. And I tore down a building and tore all the cinder blocks out of it. And it's still as strong as when I took it out. And this block stood in the same place for 50 years. I'm sorry to say that a woman ran into the side of the building and had to tear the building down. Sorry, that's how it was. And I went over and collected all of the cinder blocks that were still good. All of them. Because I'm going to build something at the house. And I know the value still here. Jesus Christ looked at you and said, look, you got a dog ear here and you know you got some missing out pieces on your web. You're still strong, my child. I'll build on you. You build on me. Cinder block, building blocks. Something so simple. It's quite simply a way to good use. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Go to a block foundation and see how they start. You got a block, and then a block, and a block, and pretty soon, you've got a foundation. A bunch of them forming one spot, one foundation. The old cinder block. The old simple block. And at the very beginning, the first block is called what? Come on, somebody's got to know. The cornerstone. The first block. In Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul again writes these words. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. The cornerstone. How many in here has laid a block foundation? And I mean actually laid it. Glenn, I bet you have. That's right. What's the first point you start with? You got to get your corners right, right? Your corners have to be perfect. And then from there on out, you can make a mess of things. Trust me. But your corners have to be perfect. But they start with this simple, beat up, nasty looking, gray piece of material. Turned the right way becomes unending strength. That's us, brothers and sisters. We started out. Now look at us. He came to us and said, I'll take care of you. When Jesus comes in, we are weak. We are lost. We are alone. We are unable to support anything. And He lifts us up and turns us, lays us out there, and makes us strong, and makes us become part of one. Now that we know this, we can begin growing the church. Or remembering what it takes to grow the church. Or remembering how to grow the church. Peter writing said these words in 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into the spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. And now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that was rejected has become the cornerstone. That's amazing, isn't it? When you think about who you are, and no matter what, I'm always amazed at that simplicity. All you have to do is believe in Him. He takes you from the imperfect and gets you ready to become perfect one day. No matter what, if you are broken, no matter how impossible it might seem, He will fix you. If you were lost, He will find you. If you are His building block, He will use you correctly and place you and love you and keep you and see to it that you are built properly. A lady was watching out of the window during the spring. It was beautiful. It was sunny. And she happened to notice that a bird had came forward and saw the covering of her rose bush. And she watched the bird settled in and began to build a nest, bringing sticks and hair and feathers and other stuff. And the lady watched and said, you poor little creature, you're building your nest too low. Soon the destroyer will come and break up your home. And so it was. The days passed, the nest was finished, there were eggs in the nest, and soon four great mouths announced by chirp whenever mommy was coming back with a good meal. One day a lady sat by the window sewing, and suddenly she heard the cry of the birds. As she looked into the rose bush, she saw what was happening. A snake had crawled up and was taking them away, and the mother could do nothing to save it. It was too late. Her home was desolate, and it reminded her of building too close to the ground and building incorrectly. Wilbur Chapman wrote this and said, so I think it is with the people who have no higher ambition than earthly pleasure, wealth, or honors, that they build too low. Their homes are in easy reach of death and the devil, and depend upon it, the destroyer will sooner or later come. But Jesus says, when you accept me, I will put you in a solid foundation and keep you from all harm. I will make you my building block. Oh, we do that. We do that too often. They were kidding me about it in Sunday school today. Earthly pleasures. There was a sale this past Saturday, and they sold a thrashing machine too cheap. And while I don't need another thrashing machine, I'm probably going to have to go visit the man that bought it, because he ain't got no way to keep it, and I might have to get it away from him. But all of that means nothing. Nothing to me. Not unless I can enjoy my life with Christ. Turn to His strength. Recently, I got a chance to walk around this old church with Bud. That's great when you walk around Bud. You should do it. You should make an appointment. Have him as your tour guide. Bud and Glenn took me out, and we walked and we looked. You know, most of the bricks on this part, not the other part, are handmade bricks. And they were just repointed, what, several years ago, not too long ago. They cut out the old mortar and they get back in there and they repoint it with new mortar. And they make it strong again and pretty. They take care of the cracks. They take care of the problems. And I got to thinking, you know, no matter how bad we beat up and take care of beating on ourselves, there is Jesus ready to repoint us. Check your foundation, brothers and sisters. If it's losing a little bit, time to get repaired. Prayer. If it's losing a little bit, it's time to get repaired. I'm always amazed at how simply we forget the beginning. We get caught up. We get lost. We are His building blocks. Let us show His strength this week. An anonymous poet wrote these words, a building or a wrecker. As I watched them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a heave-ho, and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you'd hire if you wanted to build? He just gave me a laugh and said, no indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily reckon a day or two what took builders years to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town, content with the labor of tearing down? O Lord, let my life and labors be that which will build for eternity. I love each and one of you, my fellow cinder blocks. Let us continue to seek that we would build God's church here, here, and in here, as He would have us do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You give us Your answers, Your word, Your desires everywhere we look. All we need to do is be still and listen. You reminded us this week that while the top side of the building is beautiful and ornate and covered with greatness, it would be for nothing were there not a foundation to support it. You have shown us that even though the structure may burn, may fall, may be utterly destroyed, on a solid foundation it can seriously be rebuilt. Beautiful, if not more, than it was before. You showed us that, Father, when Jesus Christ died. The greatest foundation was destroyed on the top, on the surface, and yet rose again more beautiful and glorious than we can ever comprehend. And all He does is seek to turn us back the right way and lift us up. I pray that we all be those cinder blocks. I pray that we all be those building blocks. I pray that in the weeks to come, in the moments to come, we turn ourselves back to the beginning of our faith, repoint, look for the repairs, and grow, and watch what growth comes from it as You add to what we do. The Master Builder, Architect, Creator, gave us His Son as the cornerstone. Let us not forget that and build on that as we go from here. Let us seek to be not many, but one in foundation as building blocks. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, this building stands 190 feet tall. It's probably one of the most famous buildings around. It had a 10-foot deep foundation. 190 feet tall, 10-foot deep foundation. It got itself in trouble. The name of it means soft, moist ground. Someday they say it's going to crash down, but they're trying to straighten it out. It's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Pisa means soft soil, soft ground. It leans over so bad that they have actually worked and came up with ways that will stop it from falling. And in 2008, they used lead weights and dug out 77 tons of material on one side and actually have stopped the tower from leaning any further than it has since 1838 and have guaranteed that it'll stay there for another 300 years. Ha! The folly of man. But today, if you're out of kilter, if you're leaning over, you can be upright. You can be straightened out and strengthened. As we sing this last hymn, come forward with prayer if you so desire.
The last hymn we've changed to 401, so if you turn to that in your hymnal, please stand. 401.
The church is one foundation. Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His creation by water and the Word. From them He came and saw her to be His holy bride. With His own body
Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I ask that your feet be made to walk that path this week, strengthened, lively, made ready. I pray that you get someone to talk to you this week about Jesus Christ and that you'll see that blessing in their heart as you plant the seed or water or whatever. But these things I ask now and forevermore in Him who gives us life, Jesus Christ. Amen.